ER101. In conjunction with the American College of Emergency Physicians, get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back to ER 101. Well, there's a lot of other injuries that can occur in the winter, and my next guest, Dr. James Williams, is Vice Chief of Staff at Methodist Specialty and Transplant Hospital, as well as the Medical Director there. So welcome, Dr. Williams, and let's talk about some of the more common injuries that you see during the winter. I imagine slips and falls are big ones for everyone.
Yeah, you're right. We see a lot of mechanical injuries, especially not just with the snow, but with the ice. And when the weather has been so cold for so long, we're seeing a lot of that. Obviously, the younger people, they're out playing, not much of a problem, but it's the older people or even the middle age who maybe not be wearing the right foot gear. They'll slip and fall, and seeing a lot of hip fractures, wrist fractures, and I just refer to this as an orthopedic surgeon's winter wonderland because they love this.
Yeah, I have to remember when I first moved to Baltimore, like almost 20 years ago, and I was from New York originally. So in Baltimore, it seemed like whenever it got cold, it like was always freezing rain. It was that in between slush. It wasn't quite snow. So then it was always ice. And I remember, one year working in the ER, and we just set up an observation area with all the orthopedic. They were just operating day and night with all those falls and things. So
yeah, that's right. So they just sort of batch the ortho injuries, and then they come in and see it all at once.
Yeah, and then somebody recently invented, I don't know the name of them, you know, but it's like those crampons that the climbers wear, but it's
right.
This very cool stretchy, and it has a coil, like putting chains on your tires, and it was just a great idea, because back then we were actually telling people that they could try carrying extra socks and putting socks on their shoes because they gripped a little better than the soles. But these new devices are so clever. I wish it was my idea.
Yeah, well, you do need something more than loafers. They're not the best thing to wear, and certainly high heels don't help you so much. But usually if you take precautions, you can get away without an injury. So the other thing we see...
No, go ahead.
Yeah, in addition to the... the mechanical injuries, we see some of the physiologic problems too, and that would be what you were talking about earlier, the chest pain type people who maybe they didn't realize what their limitations were, and they go out and start shoveling snow, and they can have an acute coronary event. And those are really the ones that obviously are the life-threatening things that we hope to avoid.
So what exactly is happening? I mean, obviously there's exertion, but even just the very, very cold air can affect cardiac patients being out. What exactly happens there?
Right. I think it's a supply-demand mismatch, but it's made all the worse because, just as you said, of the cold weather, and your heart is just not extracting the oxygen and energy that it needs, and it results in an acute coronary syndrome. I think a lot of times it's people who otherwise do no exertion at all, but now that it's snowing, they think that they can shovel a 30-yard-long sidewalk or driveway without any problem. And they simply don't realize that, you know, this really is exertion, and they're not up to the task.
Yeah, it does use... it has a lot of cardiovascular things you do with your upper body. You don't realize that, because I once read a study a long time ago that conductors live so long because they're spending hours moving their hands back and forth and waving them. And it's very good cardiac health to do that. So I imagine if you're, you know, shoveling and straining on the snow, you know, with your upper body, that it does put a strain on your heart.
Right. We see that especially in the geriatric population. It might be the empty nesters, and this would be a population maybe even in their 50s and certainly 60s, that they go out and they just exert themselves too much, and all of a sudden they have to come in because they're having an MI.
Mm-hmm. So what do you tell people, what advice... One, for if they have to go out and walk in the snow and the ice, and then also if they do have to clear their walks and things, what kind of preventive things can they do?
Well, the, just exactly what you're saying. The prevention is the key. Number one, if you don't think that you're in a position to do it, get somebody else to do it, right? And a friend of mine said, no, come springtime, the snow is always melted. It's always going to go away. So don't put your life at risk just to shovel the snow. But if you are going to go out, it's important that you wear the right footwear so that you don't slip. And make sure you cover yourself well, especially your hands, your face, and your nose, and your feet, so you don't get frostbite if you're going to be out there and avoid something that is easily preventable. Those are the key things.
Yeah. The other thing I have to ask you about, because I'm wondering if you see, shoveling, okay, is one way to do it. And then there are a lot of people that say, okay, well, shoveling is a lot of hard work. So they buy these fancy snow blowers, which might make it a little easier. I guess it really depends on the type of snow, like a heavy wet snow or a light snow. But what you must see some other considerable injuries with snow blowers that people have to watch out for.
You know, sometimes the snow blowers, we've seen injuries that have been similar to lawnmowers because they do have a rotating blade that kicks the snow out. And if there's an ice clog, somebody tries to reach in and extract it. You know, we've seen some bad hand injuries for that. And you can just imagine what that looks like. But even though it's a mechanical thing, you know, you do have to maneuver the thing, get it around the snow, even if it's a self-propelled snow blower. And so, again, you just have to know your body and what you're capable of. Is this exertion going to be too much for you? And if it seems to be, you know, just stop. It's certainly not worth it. And just be careful. If you're going to mess with the blades, make sure the thing is disconnected. Take off the distributor cap from the spark plug.
Yeah, but I have to say, even with that, there's always a lag time while the blades are still spinning. So, you know, I've even seen injuries where people, I mean, it amazes me that people would stick their hands into something with a spinning blade anyway.
Yeah.
But, but, you know, even when you unplug it or do whatever you do, you know, there's a short time where the blade is still spinning. So that's what I see people. And the blades are sharp, especially for snow blowers, too. So that lag time, I've seen people lose fingers and things like that.
Yeah, it's definitely something you just have to be careful of. And, you know, it's the thing is step back for a second and ask yourself, okay, is it worth waiting a few minutes or is it worth losing a couple fingers? So just be cautious. Don't get caught in the excitement of blowing the snow with your brand new $2,000 blower.
Right. Now, another thing that I'm sure the people of Atlanta had experienced, so I definitely want to talk about it, but I want to talk about driving in the bad weather. I mean, there's the issue of accidents in the bad weather. And then, as we all saw in the news, there's the very real issue of being stuck out in the elements for hours or stranded. And there's some very dangerous things that can happen then, too, as people reported in Atlanta, you know, that little bit of snow that paralyzed the city in, oh, my God, 18 hours. No, I can't imagine 18 hours in a car with a kid or something. So let's talk about first potentially driving in the bad weather. You know, the other thing that kills me is people with four-wheel drive. They think, oh, I got four-wheel drive, and they'll go barreling down 70 miles an hour in the ice, and it's the traction's still an issue, right?
They're invincible, right, if they have four-wheel drive. It's all about the snow tires and what your grip is. And so, exactly, you're not just putting yourself at risk, but you're putting other people at risk, too. You know, that's just foolish, and that's all about knowing your limits and, you know, be careful. You don't want to get into an accident. But, you know, getting back to what you were speaking of, this reports of somebody being in the car for 22 hours, you know, that's remarkable. I think the key thing there is prevention. We talked about make sure you just have some water, throw a couple energy bars in your car, some blankets. And an important thing, too, is to have a phone charger because you might forget that your phone's on the blink and, you know, your battery will be able to charge that. So that's key.
Great advice. Great advice. Be prepared like a Boy Scout. This is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Vanocur on Radio MD. Stay well.